surprisingly, what we noticed through the years is that people really pay attention to our reports. So we've seen examples with key contacts, like, for example, the CRO of a renowned furniture brand, who is not our client, sharing how proud the company is that they made the top 15 with our index and ranking. So this tells us that, yes, those communities are very important. And obviously with the social proof component,
yes,
in the original research reports, every marketer understands that it naturally attracts a lot of attention. Everybody yep. want to know and see if they are, how well they stack up against competitors.
Yep.
And obviously the companies that are not on the list, they still want to figure out what are some of the best practices in the industry as well.
Welcome to the Show Me the Data podcast by Leadsim, where every week we get marketing and sales leaders from fast-growing B2B tech companies to share specific tactics they use to drive revenue for their business. The best part, they share the exact metrics and data points behind each of their tactics. I'm your host, Tukan Das, the co-founder and CEO of Leadsim. See you there.
Hello, everyone. My guest today is Alex. Alex is the head of marketing at Zalando. Hey, Alex, welcome to the show.
Hey, Tukan. Thanks for having me. Excited to be here.
Awesome. So before we get started, Alex, can you tell us a little bit more about what you guys are doing at Zalando?
Of course, Zalando is the leading 3D product visualization platform for furniture retailers and brands. We provide a full platform to get superior product visuals across every marketing touchpoint of the furniture buyer journey.
Got it. So you guys are specifically focusing on furniture brand for now, or is it any retail brand?
Exactly. Currently focused on nailing down our niche.
I love it. You guys are going super focused. That's the way to do it. Great. So I guess, Alex, what we'd love to get started by asking you is, you know, as the head of marketing, you are trying out different strategies to drive demand, to drive leads for your business. What is the strategy that has worked the best for you guys with regards to lead generation or demand generation?
Yeah, great question. Obviously, we've been experimenting with lots of different lead magnet types, different type of content. And at the end, we discovered that one of the most powerful ways for us in terms of top funnel success, but also further down the funnel when it comes to generating pipeline, was preparing and coming up with original research reports. And 2 years ago, for instance, we asked specifically that question. So how would a furniture e-commerce merchandising look for one of our main ideal customer profiles, which is traditional furniture retailers on the US market? And obviously, yeah, the main product category is 3D product visualization. But when it comes to our content marketing strategy, we go broadly. As the thought leader in the space, we analyze and provide relevant content all the time around furniture e-commerce. So we asked what type of a thought leadership content will attract attention, but also be provide applicable advice for our key segment of US-based retailers. And then we came up with the idea of picking up that list of 100 retailers mm-hmm. and analyzing each one of those against 17 key drivers of success. It okay. includes everything from customization, web AR, then reviews, recommendations, looking at the room scenes offering, every important feature that matters and contributes to a success in the e-commerce game. And the results were mind-blowing.
We're going to come to that, those results. Let me ask you a few questions. So you guys came up with this idea of doing original research and as a piece of, as a lead magnet. That's sort of the original goal. But you focused specifically 100 furniture retail brands, or any retail brand? What was the first report like you guys focused on?
Yeah, so the first version was focused around 100 furniture specific retailers on the US market. And then we soon after the success, we expanded and decided to go with different markets. So we went with Europe, but not only the retailer segment, we also decided to analyze furniture brand manufacturers as well. And at the end, so the last piece, which went out last December, analyzed the D2C players in our space in furniture. So direct consumer brands specific for furniture globally.
So let me guess, all these companies that are in your report, the 100 companies, they're sort of like your wish list customers?
Something like that.
So, and I have seen through your report, it is extremely detailed and informative. So my question to that is, can you talk me through the process of creating the report? Once you decided that, you know, okay, we are going to do a report on 100 furniture retailers, what did it entail? What did you go about doing next? Like, what were the steps? How many people were involved? What were the different sources of data? How did you come up with all of this?
Yeah, sure. Good question as well. So to say it's a quick one is an understatement, I gotta say. So obviously there's a lot of work involved first in benchmarking and analyzing the websites to see if they have adopted each one of those features we want to analyze, then scoring and ranking the players. We have our own proprietary index that assigns value to each of the drivers of success. And finally, obviously, there's the design aspect and the distribution aspect as well. So there's a work involved from four people on my team, and then obviously the distribution, which is as important as the preparation. It involves people from sales and customer success too. On the sales side of things, we work with the sales team. Some of these companies are obviously on their target account list, so they want to use it and leverage the content in potential conversation with prospects. While on the other hand, we are, as I mentioned, leader in our space, so some of our clients are in the top 100 list themselves. Others maybe didn't make the cut. However, this also provides an opportunity for them as well to drive strategic conversations around possible initiatives, what can be improved to level up their e-commerce game. And obviously with that, the ROI return.
Got it. From distribution perspective, Alex, I mean, one thing is A, creating a great piece of content that is providing value with the right audience. But if you're not distributing it enough, it doesn't really work. So you talked about, you know, some of these accounts were in your sales team's target account list, so they would, you know, share it with them. What other distribution channels did you use? Did you use paid media? Were you using PR or something? Like, what were different things that you used?
Yeah, great question again. So at its essence, we want to treat the report, each of these reports, as a account-based program. So we want to engage the right people at the right accounts, right? The companies that are featured in the report. And we can actually pull out three main distribution plays here. There's the inbound part, also paid ads. So that's on the marketing side of things. Then we got outbound sales engagement, and finally client marketing. When it comes to inbound marketing and paid ads, we ask the question, so what are the channels? Obviously we have our own media channels, our email subscriber list of up to 10 subscribers. We got organic as well, leveraging our people to share it on social media, and LinkedIn is obviously powerful. But perhaps the most effective channel when it comes to the marketing part is LinkedIn paid ads. LinkedIn allows you to target specifically the exact companies. Everybody in the dementia game understands that, and the buyer personas, the people we care about the most. So being able to run those type of ads, even with lead ads, specifically native ads on LinkedIn, proved very powerful for us. We relied on sponsoring the content on some of these media where the audience is hanging out or consuming content, like furniture media as well. That was also effective, looking at the number, but also the quality, and finally the cost per lead as well. So yeah, roughly that is the distribution plan.
Got it. So there's quite a bit of paid media to drive people to these content. And LinkedIn being
exactly a combination of organic, a direct involvement from the sales folks, but also paid media as well. Although the final cost, when you look at the cost per key contacts or personas, is very, very low.
Nice. So did you guys, one thing that I've seen some people use is they share it in industries focused groups, like organic groups on LinkedIn or Facebook groups. They say, hey, there's a report we published. Do you guys do any of that?
Yeah, we've tried that actually. Yes. And surprisingly, what we noticed through the years is that people really pay attention to our reports. So we've seen examples with key contacts, like, for example, the CRO of a renowned furniture brand, who is not our client, sharing how proud the company is that they made the top 15 with our index and ranking. So this tells us that yes, those communities are very important. And obviously with the social proof component,
yes,
in the original research reports, every marketer understands that it naturally attracts a lot of attention. Everybody yep. wanna know and see if they are, how well they stack up against competitors.
Yep.
And obviously the companies that are not on the list, they still wanna figure out what are some of the best practices in the industry as well. So
yep.
all around, yep. organic sharing in communities, that also works, and we've seen good results. We even partnered with some of these furniture media sites because they run their own reports. And in one of those initiatives, we partnered with Furniture Today, a US-based magazine in the furniture space, and actually found a really good correlation between the revenue growth of the companies and the adoption of some of these features. And that was kind of interesting.
I love it. Okay, so now let's talk about specific metrics and data points. So how many original research reports do you publish in a month or a quarter or a year?
So looking at our key segments and the key geo areas, we publish 5 reports yearly.
5 reports yearly. Okay, so let's talk about that then. How many, I guess, downloads of the report would you get on a monthly basis, Alex?
Yeah, okay, that's a good question. And obviously we wanna look at downloads ourselves internally. However, I have my opinion on the subject, and many people with disagree with me at Zalindo and overall maybe in the B2B SaaS world when I say that MQLs are dead. Reality, of course, it's a joke. MQLs still matter. They are an important mindshare signal.
Yep.
They tell you something around the success of your account engagement plan.
Sure.
But sure. I'm a true believer that the marketing team should be measured by pipeline generation. 100%.
Yep.
And obviously marketing source deals and marketing influence revenue. So we look at all of these factors from top funnel up to down to the clients want. Let's take the US-based retailer as an example. That was the most popular one.
Yep.
The results were fantastic. So more than 800 downloads without counting all of those reshares that happen organization-wide.
Okay. Right?
Then more than 200 of the downloads are coming from key contacts, from the key companies we want to reach.
25% of the people that downloaded that content are actually from the right buyer persona that you want to talk to.
Exactly.
So, okay, so this is amazing. So now these 25%, so how many of these 800 people that downloaded 200 are perfect key contacts? What do you do with them? Do you then give it to your SDRs to have a call with them to book a demo or something? What's the process there?
Typically, what happens is that obviously we look at the accounts, we look at their quality. We got a way where we're scoring and qualifying the accounts in order to prioritize. And then the SDR obviously follows up with the most important companies and the key folks, obviously the C-suite, our personas like director of e-commerce, marketing, people will be treated with a personalized approach versus less important leads, right? So it's an approach where the SDR undertakes the next actions, but it's kind of like a subtle way to introduce ourselves, right? Mm. We are asking what's on their radar when it comes to strategic approaches, asking if they found value in the report, what are they thinking for the next year, where they want to improve. And that way we are able to obviously set ourselves apart as the consultant, the advisor.
Yeah. Yeah.
And that allowed us to directly book meetings with key prospect companies.
So you're not asking for a meeting right away to these to people that they're reaching out to?
Never, almost never. So obviously the SDRs do not report to marketing, but we still work closely. Mm-hmm. The marketing, sales, and customer success, the whole three teams, part of the revenue team, are well integrated. We need to have that process of alignment, right? So that's why we are aware, we understand how they approach things. And yes, it's always about personalization, trying to spark a conversation first, then if there is a fit, obviously asking for the meeting or a discovery call where we would find out what they care about the most.
What percentage of these people that are fit or that downloaded ended up booking a meeting and sort of moved down the funnel, become an opportunity?
Well, we are actually in the enterprise sale world. So it's not easy convincing and getting tons of meetings.
Yeah.
In our case, looking at taking that account, that factor into consideration, we were able to book 10 meetings with key accounts just based on that report, on a single report, the US-based retailers report. Some of these companies are still in an active deal cycle while we managed to get two clients one based on that campaign.
Wow.
So that is a really great result. Yeah.
That's a great ROI. That's a great ROI given the enterprise sales cycle that you guys have. So
exactly.
And out of those 10 meetings that you booked and two deals closed, how many of them were reported in the top 100? Were any of them, or they were all reported in there?
Two of them
were listed in the top 100?
Exactly. So one of them can be directly attributed to the campaign, because that's how it all started. The whole conversation was based on the report findings. While the other one, I'll say it's a marketing influence revenue. I want to see what the impact from marketing is. And we noticed that we were already engaged with the account. However, seeing a couple of key contacts downloading the report served as a revenue acceleration.
100%.
It helps us, drive that conversation and close that deal faster.
So as the head of marketing, then doing these reports, publishing these five reports a year, what is the main KPI that you yourself want to measure yourself objectively for these reports? Obviously, it's not MQLs, meaning not leads downloaded. Like, what is the KPI that you would like to measure on a quarterly basis, let's say, for these reports?
Yep. Good question. Obviously, as I said, although we want to look at every metric because we want to optimize across the full funnel,
right?
The most important metric, the North Star metric, at least when you look at the reports, but also in general, is perhaps net new ARR associated to a specific campaign. Did it drive any clients? What was the deal size in general? That's what I would care about the most, but also secondarily, pipeline generation. So what was the value from the inbound source, but also marketing influence revenue, because as I said, sales leverages the content as well.
100%.
If you look at attribution models, it's a sales generated lead, but in the end of the day, it's a content produced by marketing. So that's what matters the most. Yeah.
Yeah, no, that's
look
amazing.
At the full picture. Yeah.
Very good. Quickly then, Alex, what are different tech stack, like what are different tools are you using to run the marketing specifically around you know, creating this content distribution? Like, what are the tools are you using?
So when it comes to preparing content, let's start with the resources. So, and also the people involved. We, as I mentioned earlier, we bet heavily on content marketing. So our content marketing manager, she's a genius. She produces top-notch content, and we've been able to, you know, get a huge brand awareness because of the fact that we answer more buyer questions through different forms of content. So obviously it starts with there, and we rely in terms of tech, rely on HubSpot, whole revenue team, leverages CRM, marketing, sales, software. But you also wanna obviously make sure, as I said, that the content gets to the right audience. We reach, attract, and delight the right type of prospects and clients. And the digital marketer on the team leverages HubSpot, also a lot of other tools as well to execute campaigns. Look at, in a way, to intent data as well. We use a couple of tools that allow us to uncover not only if, you know, not only to see the downloads, but also if the right companies are coming on our site and what the behavior is, what pages they visit, how long are they on our website, and obviously if there's any sort of any intent, so we can be a little bit more aggressive on the outbound.
Are you using like lead feeder or something from an intent? Like
exactly. Currently we are using a lead feeder along with HubSpot.
Got it. Cool. And the reason my ears perked up is because at least if we are all about intent, again, third party intent, what these retailers were probably would be doing outside. So that's very interesting to understand the process. So one question to ask you then, Alex, I mean, while wrapping up is, you know, we have at least we have been thinking about creating, you know, these industry reports. We have created some original research reports, and they're always the most downloaded, the best performing content, like hands down. But one thing I realized looking at your report is the level of research and the effort it goes in to create this. So if someone is thinking of using, you know, original research report as a way to drive demand, what are certain things that they should look out for or keep in mind when thinking of this as a strategy?
Yeah, well, plan for at least 3 to 4 weeks of preparation.
Well, okay.
That's for sure. Then the other thing is, so you should ask yourself, what are some of the burning pains and what are the most important factors of success for your ideal clients? You want to analyze that and obviously measure adoption, right? Define these must-haves first before preparing an original research report, and then make sure you invite experts to weigh in on the topics covered, because we also validated our proprietary index with expert opinions, seeing if, you know, the ranking mechanism itself and the features we want to analyze are the right ones that they care about. And finally, make sure it's a organization-wide buy-in from different teams, marketing, sales, and customer success, to make sure you execute flawlessly here in distributing the piece to the right contacts, obviously, the personas that actually care about these the most. That would be my advice.
Yeah, no, that's great. And one, I should have asked this earlier. All these assets are gated, right? These are all gated content.
Correct. So currently we go with that approach, although we can hear a different school of thought. People like Chris Walker talking about ungating your assets, then Sixth Sense as well, the book with no forms, no spam. Still haven't tried that, although who knows, maybe we'll consider that approach in the future as well if the popularity we're seeing with our content carries on.
Might even, in your landing page, you might even put in like lead feeders tag and see which companies are visiting that page. Maybe there's no gate, but yeah, that's very interesting. Again, thank you so much for showing us the data, Alex. So just to summarize, leveraging original research report that is unique to your industry has been a great source of lead and demand for you guys. You know, you're getting 800 downloads to an asset. 25% of them are from the key contacts. You're already booking 10 meetings or SQLs from that, 2 deals closed. I guess, given the fact that you're an enterprise company, the ROI makes total sense. Again, thank you so much, Alex. This was great.
Thanks for having me. You can enjoy it.